You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
From Vineyard Theatre in New York City, this is Theatre Uncorked, where Vineyard artists come together to talk about the process of bringing new works to the stage. I'm your host, Kevin Weinbold. The Vineyard is proud to be presenting plays by some of the most exciting new voices in the theater this season, starting with the New York premiere of Good Grief by Ngozi Anyanwu, directed by Awoye Timpo. In episode 9, Ngozi and Awoye talk about how the show has developed and changed over the past 4 years, the advantages and challenges for Ngozi to be both the playwright and leading actor of the show, the influence August Wilson has had on both of them, and how their previous and current productions have allowed them to develop a dynamic, collaborative relationship. Let's listen.
So we met, I want to say it's been like 10 or 11 years, probably 2007, 2008 season.
Yeah.
And we met in the lobby of the Public Theater.
Yeah.
So I was doing a directing fellowship at the time.
I was Jesse Cameron's intern. So Jesse Cameron at the time, who's now like the dramaturg,
literary at the Public, manager.
But now, at that time he was Oscar's artistic assistant, mm-hmm. and I was his assistant.
Yes.
So I was an intern, artistic intern, and it was one of those days where whenever they have a new show or like a first rehearsal, they always do this thing where they kind of circle up and, you know, from intern to lead actor, everyone just, you know, if they can get out of the office, introduces themselves, and I was like, that name is African. That is an African name. I don't know where it's from, but I will find her. And I will attach myself to her. Come hook or by crook.
Oh, God. It's like we met and we're just like, Africans! Yes!
Unite.
In the lobby is happening.
Ultron, unite.
Yes, it's so good.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and then we've just been, connecting and seeing each other at things. Mm-hmm. And then you went away for school and stayed
grad school.
Connected.
We just stayed connected always.
Yeah.
I know you did. You'd produce a lot of readings, and weren't you like the associate artistic director at like Shakespeare on the Sound?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I got to audition for her, but I never came around that we got to,
because
I'm an actor primarily, so it never came around that I actually auditioned for you.
Yeah.
But once we did like Now Africa,
that's right.
You're like, hey, come in and hang out with us as a director.
Yeah.
And I remember getting out of grad school, you and Nicole Watson had invited me to, you were both associates for the August Wilson series.
That's right, yeah. We did a whole, the WNYC, August Wilson readings, that you came to all of.
I had nothing else to do. I was unemployed in high school, and I got some medicine and got some August Wilson.
Yes.
That was actually where I was like, you know, you go to grad school, and I think for me, you're like, August Wilson, okay, I get it. Yeah. And then I sat through those readings, which had the craziest casts.
The very best.
And then I was like, and I'm back on the train.
Yes,
like,
totally.
You can't argue with me that he's, who has 10 great plays?
Totally.
I was like, you got 10 great plays? I ain't got 10 great plays. I think he wins.
It's so funny. Yeah. It's like, I feel like I had the same experience when I was coming up through school. I'm trying to remember if I read any August Wilson in school. Maybe.
Like high school or college?
Definitely not in high school. In college, maybe I read Fences, maybe. But I remember having this feeling like, oh, August Wilson. It was just we were at a time where it was like August Wilson was being produced. Like it was like the February show, and the theater was doing a black show. It would be an August Wilson show. And so I started to have this kind of like resentment towards August Wilson without really knowing the plays.
Correct.
But I was just kind of like, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Why there's no other playwrights except for August Wilson?
Yeah, I went to undergrad in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well.
Right? And so I didn't know about who August Wilson was until I was an undergrad, which is, I think, is like not totally pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Modern drama class, we read Joe Turner's Come and Gone.
Come on.
And that was the play that was like, and, you know, for a black girl who was raised in a very, very white suburb and raised African, I was like, I don't get this, but I get this. Mm-hmm. It was like it was that one, mm-hmm. and like The Slave by Mary Baraka.
Yep.
And I was just on some other, I was trying to do that Vera monologue.
Listen.
From Seven Guitars at every audition I could. They're like, who's this 21-year-old? What you know about? He ain't here. And by the time I was like 28, it was like every time you do the Vera monologue, you know, an angel dies. Like, you know what I mean? Because it was just so overdone.
It was done all the time, yeah.
So, you know, of course, big ups to August Wilson.
Yeah.
But there, it was definitely like that. That was a swing. But that Green Space series was definitely a, and the swing is back up. You know, because that was to see it, to hear it how it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
You go, oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's just all plays, right? I feel like what I realized when I heard that was like, oh, this is about gathering your people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, who know the world.
Yes.
And can just inhabit the world, who don't even have to do anything.
Yes.
And then we'll get your play.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me go, God, I wonder how many plays I've seen
that
actually weren't bad, but they didn't get to have their people,
mm-hmm.
or it wasn't produced right, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And so seeing those series was really like, oh, wow, this is what happens when you just get your people who like, and
totally.
That was like a big old like,
aha moment.
That was a big old like, damn, all right, note to self, get your people, make sure your people know what they're doing, you know, and like make sure you get to make your things the way you want to make your things.
Yes, totally, you know? And there's also something too, like I feel like when you actually get to know the plays themselves, you realize that they're like, it was like August Wilson celebrating himself, celebrating his community, celebrating his neighbors and his parents and his cousins and the, you know, all the people that he was coming across, and being able to so skillfully capture, you know, all of these variety of characters into the play so beautifully, but also trusting his very singular voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then on top of that, to have all those actors.
Yeah. And his play is actually incredibly diasporic too.
Absolutely.
Like to hear Hedley, which is actually like,
oh yeah,
a Caribbean character, right?
Yeah,
he's Haitian, or and to like, and to hear like Joe Turner's Come and Gone, like you actually hear like, oh, and Gem of the Ocean. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Africa callback, like when you actually sit. This is like, you know, this is an incredibly actually diasporic play. This is the Black American experience,
yes.
but it calls back to the Caribbean. It calls back to Africa, and he did so also with his casting.
Absolutely.
Too. So when they did those Green Space series, it was also made me go, oh, like that's a part for an African character.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Like you know, or like that's a part for that like hood dude. That's a part for like that old ass Southern Black man. You know, and it was just really, you know, you put them all together, and like there really is a beautiful range of the diversity of Blackness.
Yes.
In his plays.
Yes. Inside of like the men, inside of the women, and it's like he was so, I think, aware of just history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And he, in a way, almost never let us separate ourselves from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
African-American.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let us celebrate the oneness, so you can have a character who's 400 years old.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Who bridges,
right.
you know, who bridges oceans,
right.
you know? So it's, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But that was our beginning.
That was our beginning. For me, a big influence is Terrell McCraney, you know, direct influence. Definitely, obviously, there are people before me, so like, you can call back and go, I hear this. But like for me directly, probably Terrell, just because I remember reading when his plays started getting published, reading the inserts and how the brother-sister plays, like one was a dedication to his brother, one was a dedication to his sister, and how like, you know, those three plays were dedications. And I was like, oh, I like that. Like, I like to keep it that personal, you know? And if I can think of making something a dedication to someone really specifically, I'll keep the heart of the thing I'm trying to make. And I will hopefully not get out of control with my ideas of what I think the play is about. So for me, Good Grief was really just about, a great friend of mine who died too young when I was 21. And it just really was it was a catalyst for a lot of change in my life. It was a catalyst that made me a much more serious artist. And then like I started writing the play like 10 years after he had passed, I want to say. I was like, you know, having one of my dark, broody moments in grad school, as you have. And it just came out, I was actually as a poem at first. It was like 10 pages. or the last monologue in the play, it was like 10 pages. And it was, I just kept writing, and it wasn't very sensical. And then it kind of was like almost First Folio-ish, where I was kind of talking to myself, you know. And then I just kind of got classmates together, because I went to UCSD, with a bunch of classmates who were like playwriting majors, directing majors, design majors, acting majors. And they just kind of sat up with me at like 2 o'clock in the morning and just like, you know, like listened to the first 30 pages of what I think I had. And they read it out loud and they were like, yeah, man.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but it kind of started with a big old ache, you know, started with an ache. And I just kind of like didn't suppress the ache. And I just kind of kept writing it until it was like, okay, this is 80 pages. Okay, I think I'm done for now. And that was kind of like how the first draft came about. But I very much, yeah, I just really tried to capture home and like what I remembered of the moment, you know. And I remembered, you know, people who were there for me, people who couldn't quite articulate what they wanted for me, and like who couldn't do much for me, you know. And I just, yeah, and it's also, you know, I'm from a very lovely, small, big suburb, and I think I'm very much of that place and not. And I also just wanted to capture those people, you know, my parents living there and the people I grew up with there, because I almost never go back there, but that's where I'm from.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Well, you know what's great is Ngozi and her sister had produced a like workshop preliminary a performance of it. When was this? 2 or 3 years?
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
That they did at INTAR.
Yeah.
That I went to see.
Yeah.
And the great Russell Jones.
Yeah.
Directed that first kind of iteration of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. We so did we produced it in 4 days with like a Kickstarter, 2 week rehearsal, because it was like, how would we get the most awesome people to say yes to us? Oh, we only take up their time for 2.5 weeks. We did 2 week rehearsal and a 4 day showing.
Wow. Yeah. And it was beautiful. And it was just amazing. It was in the middle of the summer. There was no air conditioning. And all these people just gathered to like watch this play and hear the story on like the second floor in the INTAR Theater. So that was actually my first introduction to the play and to Ngozi's writing. And then I've just been, you know, following it, because then they had a production that went out to CTG, in Los Angeles, yeah, that Patricia McGregor directed. And so it's been great to kind of just follow it along and hear the stories of how everything has been going with it, and hear the changes,
yeah,
that you've been making along the way. So by the time we decided to work on this together now, it,
yeah,
was great, because I mean, obviously have such an amazing history with Ngozi as a person, but I knew the play and loved the play already and was excited to support and continue the development of the play. But it was not new to me, so
yeah,
it was exciting to see,
yeah,
some of the changes that had been made since the last time that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of just took it from there.
Yeah. And we worked together earlier this year on Homecoming Queen. So we're beginning to learn a shorthand,
mm-hmm,
as director, writer, but obviously it's different as director, actor, playwright.
Uh-huh.
You know? So we're definitely learning that. Yeah. There was like ideas of like, I knew that there was a sort of like mystical element about the whole thing, but I remember in the first iteration, there was just no time. So you just commit to choices, you know? And Russell was great. He's like, all right, we literally have 2 weeks. So you have to commit to what script you want to be. You have 2 days to decide what script this is, and I'm going to direct it. And you cannot be the playwright after the first day of rehearsal, you know? So after the first day of rehearsal, you're the actor, because we literally have 2 weeks. And if there are any big questions, we'll stop. But you're the actor. You're no longer the playwright after the first day of, well, once we're on our feet. And so that was just like And I know there was a sort of like a ethereal mystical element, but I hadn't written it in. So I think like, I want to say the original was like an interpretive dance of some sort. There was like some interpretive movement, but we didn't necessarily have the sort of like, we didn't really actually conjure and bring the gods in there like we did in the, world premiere. And so that came about during, I was in Fellow for Rising Circle. And Rising Circle is a 10-week program for playwrights of color. They take a play that's in a first draft, and you have to commit to rewriting it. And so it was 10 weeks, once a week. Great program with artists of color. And what we did was that I rewrote the thing. And by the week 10, I was like, ooh, I think the gods start the play. And by week 10, I was like, ooh, I like that bookend. And so the bookend happened around then. And then once we got the world premiere, we kind of, not exaggerated it, but, Patricia had a big question. I'm like, okay, well, do they come in? Do they, what do they do? And we had this sort of movable set. So in the world premiere, the gods moved the set, So even though they didn't speak a lot as in their godlike form, they moved the set. And so that was one way. And so in this one, the set is a little bit more still. Mm-hmm. And what were the changes even now, before, I want to say, like, they conjured stuff, and now it's sort of like centered around Nkechi, my character, conjuring and her idea of memory and her going back and forth. And we're centered very much on memory and fighting it and letting go and holding on. And we just sort of centered the story more on that, which is interesting. And yeah, so there's been sort of changes around that. Like, we made a last minute scene change right before we went to tech, where I just rewrote a scene that was sort of about sex and consent that was no longer funny to me. Mm-hmm. That was much funnier last year. That's no longer funnier this year for obvious reasons. And so it was about, so there's a new scene about like, how do you sort of keep that tension, but also how do you make it funny? And like keep your ear and your heart to the ground of what's going on in our culture. So which I think we are accomplishing. But yeah, so there's just been like internal changes here, cuts there. So it is a different play. And it's just like, it's also, it's a different director, different designers, different cast besides myself. So it's a different vision.
Yeah.
And you just got to go, all right, well, this is the version that we're doing. Yeah. So it's not a different play, but it's a different play,
It's kind of amazing, actually, because there's we get to kind of do two things. One, Ngozi obviously knows the play so deeply, so can live inside of it in a really wonderful, beautiful way. And I think the fascinating thing and exciting thing is watching the play live inside of her with new people, because, it's as she's saying, it's an all new cast. Everybody's having other different impulses about what the characters are, what the moments are. You know what I mean? It's like finding the ways to continue to stay present inside of the experience to respond to this thing of this moment. You know what I mean? So it's been a great kind of a great ride. And I think, we did a script workshop in, when was that, July? August, sometime over the summer. And so we were able to really kind of finesse and refine and reshape some of the structure of the play before we went into rehearsal, with the hope and idea that once we get into rehearsal, it'd be great if she can, focus primarily on the acting part of it. But it's also a great gift because there's some little kind of like minute things that actually we get to feel from both the inside and the outside of the play. Do you know what I mean? Because she's inside of it. We can say, oh, this jump to get from this moment to this moment, this is our idea of how it works or how it functions. But sometimes inside of it, it feels, no, this is not quite right. And so we've been able to kind of go through and make adjustments on that. But I mean, the great thing about Ngozi too is just that she's very flexible and very open and very open hearted. So I think, that all makes for a great process.
The play is pseudo autobiographical. So, and I write from a personal perspective. So I know the part. I know the play. The disadvantage is that I know the play because, there's a tendency to keep it to for its rote or that I know everything, and there has to be room for discovery as an actor. There has to be room for surprise. There has to be room for an actor, your scene partner, actually telling you something different about that part that you wrote. And that's, I just think the playwright thing, the relationship between the playwright and the actor doing your play, period, is that that actor might have a different impulse, and you got to let them ride that impulse out, whether it be wrong or right. So I would say it's great because I would say, I'm glad that she said that I'm open-hearted, open-minded, because for me, it's been like a struggle in relinquishing my control issues. and patience, because it really, you know, I've done the play before also multiple times, so I have a sort of certain shorthand with the play, so I can just kind of go into a thing, and so, but it's also not, and I can't expect everyone to be at that speed. But these actors actually are. They're actually, I mean, they were, actors are amazing. We have a really pretty badass group of actors, so they actually are all like, "Ooh, she knows it. Okay, we should get on it." But I would say that the disadvantage is the knowing. The disadvantage is that you know how this thing works. The disadvantage sometimes is that, like, I'm in my scene and I'm like, "This scene is not right," and I think it's my writing. You know, where I'm like, "Is it them or is it me?" Ah, I think it's me. And then once I know it's me, I'm like, I'm not death in the rehearsal room, but I'm just like, my mind is just like, I'm just dissatisfied until I figured out how to fix that scene. So there is that part of like making sure that you're present for your scene partner. So they're like, hey, remember me? Actor, act with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I can't. The scene is no good. so I would say it's a double consciousness of having to be aware but also be present for your scene partners. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, the script workshop was really great. Sarah is a dramaturg. I will say that this is my third production of a show, so it's interesting for me because I think as a playwright, I don't know if this is I'm a bit spoiled. So, like, you know, I had Michael Ritchie and Neil Pepe, who are also really wonderful artistic directors, and they're kind of like, here are the keys, don't burn the house down type of artistic directors. And they just kind of like leave you alone to your own devices and you just cross your fingers and hope for the best. While Sarah is a little bit more on you, and she's a dramaturge, and she's like, let's really, you know, I really want you to work on this script. I'm like, what do you mean work on the script? I'm done. It's great. I did it already. So she really challenges you to really get in your script and really like get deeper. I'm like, I don't, how deep can I get? So, but she really challenged me to do that with Awoye, and I think that has really, I think, taken the play to a different level by doing that. Mm. So I think it's been actually it's been challenging in the way of like, oh, I didn't expect to have time. I did not expect to do these rewrites, you know? I thought this play was done, and I'm like, oh, it's not done. Oh, okay. That's cool, but that's exhausting. But it's been great. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's such a wonderful supportive group of people. And we're, you know, we've actually put the entire production together in a relatively short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so it's been great to kind of develop a process and system for ourselves inside of knowing, you know, when the audience is coming. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have that script workshop over the summer was just really helpful. I mean, and for me too, coming to the play new, just to have that time to really get into it and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And for the, you know, the three of us to sit down and just really investigate the play and question the play has been really great. So I feel like we could start rehearsal really, really strong. Mm-hmm. Which was great. Yeah.
Do I want to say this out loud?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So there's been a lot of like, this is a Nigerian American girl story and a story of an African living in America. And it's like, this is just a story about a girl who misses her friend.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You don't have to prepare yourself. Yeah. You don't have to do any dramaturgy. You just maybe got to sit with like your heart open and think of somebody that you love and like watch it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I feel like I talk about this all the time, but there's so many things happening in the world right now and in life right now. And there's so many forces that are kind of hell bent on finding ways for us to separate ourselves. And I think that at the end of the day, I 100% agree. There's no preparation that's needed. It's about us as Americans, as people in this world coming together and to sit together and commune as human beings to hear a story. There's no preparation, like just your preparation is being a human being in the world. And we come into this space and we breathe together and we love together and we laugh together. And that's it. Because at the end of the day, we're all one. And, you know, we all have had friends. We've all had love. We've all had loss. And it's, you know, these are just really intense and but wonderful things that connect us. And I'm excited for the audience to come and for us all to commune together inside of the story.
That's it for this episode of Theater Uncorked. Thanks to Ngozi Anyanwu and Awoye Timpo for joining us on the podcast. Theater Uncorked is produced and edited by me, Kevin Weinbold, and created by Eric Pargach, with help from the Vineyard's associate producer, Ali Sky Bennett, and marketing director, Melissa Pelkey. Thanks to the Vineyard Theater's artistic directors, Douglas Abel and Sarah Stern, and managing director, Suzanne Appel, along with the entire Vineyard staff. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word. And last but not least, a special thanks to you for listening to Theater Uncorked at the Vineyard.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.